Radio Prague News.
A special envoy will be sent to Zambia shortly to help three Czech nationals accused of espionage in the country, the foreign minister has said. Senator for the top 09 party, Jaromír Štětina, has suggested that officials at the Interior Ministry betrayed the government when they failed to prepare a proposal to ban the Communist Party. And the dean of the West Bohemian University Law School, who was reported missing on Friday morning, has been found in North Bohemia, local police have said. A special envoy will be sent to Zambia shortly to help three Czech nationals accused of espionage in the country, Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg has said. The three men, aged between 35 and 45, arrived in Zambia as tourists and were detained in mid-October after taking photographs outside an Air Force base in the capital Lusaka. The local authorities are holding their passports and the men have to check in once a week at a local police station while awaiting trial. If convicted, they could spend up to 25 years in prison. Senator for the Top 09 party, Jaromír Štětina, has suggested that officials at the Interior Ministry betrayed the government when they failed to prepare a proposal to ban the Communist Party. In a statement on Monday, Mr. Štětina recommended that the government use a proposal drafted by a Senate commission set up to assess whether the existence of the Communist Party was in line with the Czech Republic's constitution. The situation was also criticized by Defense Minister Alexander Vondra on Sunday. The Interior Ministry was asked by the government to prepare the groundwork for a constitutional lawsuit against the party. The ministry, however, says it was unable to acquire sufficient material, even with the aid of experts and the intelligence services. The dean of the West Bohemian University Law School, Květoslav Růžička, who was reported missing on Friday morning, has been found in North Bohemia, local police have said. A passerby recognized Mr. Růžička by the roadside in the district of Varnsdorf and reported him to the police. Police say it is as yet unclear how Mr. Růžička got there. The 65-year-old man is now undergoing medical tests. Mr. Růžička has headed the law faculty since October 2010. The Plzeň Law School's doctoral program was recently suspended as a result of continuing fallout in the wake of a plagiarism and corruption scandal. Mr. Růžička has also been involved with the ongoing lawsuit between the company Diag Human and the Czech state, in which he was an arbitrator. President Václav Klaus appointed 20 new judges in Prague on Monday. At a ceremony at Prague Castle, Mr. Klaus said the number of judges should not increase much further, but Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil said he was going to propose another group of nominees by the end of the year for the president to appoint. Mr. Klaus has repeatedly criticized the growing number of judges. A team of 17 experts from 8 different countries have begun a regular peer review at the Temelin nuclear power station in South Bohemia. The safety tests organized by the World Association of Nuclear Operators will go on for 2 weeks and will focus on 10 different areas, including radiation and fire protection, accident planning and daily operation of the plant. The World Association of Nuclear Operators was founded in 1989 after the Chernobyl accident to exchange experience and information. It brings together all organizations in the world operating nuclear power generating stations. Industrial companies in the Moravia-Silesia region have reported losses in tens of millions of crowns as a result of production restrictions imposed on them in the past couple of weeks due to air pollution in the region. The largest polluters are obliged to reduce production when meteorologists declare smog regulation measures. Some companies voluntarily reduce production when only a smog alert is declared. In the Ostrava and Karviná districts, a smog alert was first declared on October the 31st and called off on Monday morning. And finally, a quick look at the weather. The coming days should be partly cloudy with daytime temperatures just above freezing point. I'm Pavla Horáková. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Coming up, new research suggests that the final resting place of the Rosenberg dynasty has been found. We report on a 400-year mystery that might finally have been solved. And in the sport, Tomáš Berdych goes for gold in the season-ending ATP World Tour finals. More on that soon. And in this week's One-on-One, we speak to the designer Anna Mareshová about her recent award-winning Whoop-de-doo.
I was surprised because I did this project as my master study, and it was a very difficult topic.
Certainly was. It's a sex toy, by the way. Yes, it's a Fruity Monday here on Radio Prague. Please do stay tuned. To start with today, though, the House of the Rosenbergs was one of Bohemia's richest and mightiest noble families, which at times even challenged the power of the king. The family controlled a large estate in southern Bohemia, its seat being Český Krumlov Castle. The last member of the family died 400 years ago and was buried in a local monastery, but the location of the legendary Rosenberg family tomb remained a mystery for centuries, until new research into the monastery tomb produced surprising results. Jan Richter has the story.
For about 300 years, the House of Rosenberg, known also by the German name of Rosenberg, had a tremendous influence on the affairs of the Bohemian kingdom. Members of the family often held high posts in the kingdom's administration, and their family estate in southern Bohemia thrived under their rule. The family's decline came in the 16th century. The last male member of the house, Petr Vok, died in 1611 and was buried alongside his wife in the Vyšší Brod monastery. Soon afterwards, however, the Rosenberg clan was surrounded by legends. One of them said that the family members were not buried in a regular tomb. Instead, legend had it, they were buried around a table, sitting on golden chairs. Petr Vok's tomb in the Cistercian monastery in Vyšší Brod was deemed too small to be the final resting place for up to 40 members of the family. But last week, members of a local history association explored the tomb and found that it was indeed the legendary Rosenberg family grave. Jiří Šindelář is from the Naše Historie Association that carried out the research.
The new important information is that, according to our finds, the tomb was originally much deeper than it looks because some partitions were built within. We can therefore say that this is indeed the only single large family tomb of the Rosenbergs where all the members of the family were laid to rest, as documented by historical records.
A small probe lowered into the tomb ended centuries of speculation. Petr Vok's grave was first opened in 1902. Further research 2 years ago failed to determine whether or not the tomb contained the remains of other family members as well. The prior of the monastery, Justinian Berka, explains the significance of the find.
It confirms various historical records which said that the Rosenbergs were buried in one tomb. At the same time, the discovery also throws more light on the research from 2009. We thought the tomb was small, but now we know the tomb is nearly 3 meters deep and wide, and that it holds the remains of those 40 members of the family, which is what the old chroniclers said.
During the survey of the tomb, the researchers made another remarkable discovery. The probe found a woman's gold ring on the lid of Petr Vok's coffin. It is not clear whether the ring belonged to his wife, Kateřina of Ludanice, or if it somehow found its way into the tomb. Jiří Šindelář again.
We suppose it might have rolled out from the wooden coffin of Kateřina of Ludanice. When the coffin began to decompose, we think the ring probably fell out. And to complete the symbolism, the ring was found where the right hand of the deceased Petr Vok was located.
The 400th anniversary of Petr Vok's death has been marked with a series of exhibitions in southern Bohemia and beyond. Researchers are now planning to display a replica of the ring at the Czech-Austrian exhibition in 2013.
Jan Richter there with that fascinating story on the final resting place of the Rosenberg dynasty. You're tuned to Radio Prague and it's time for today's sport with Jan Wellinger.
Thank you, Peter. And we begin first with this story. The captain of the national football squad, Tomáš Rosický, apologized at the weekend for an incident involving the team. It was an incident captured on camera in which players insulted former national squad teammate Radek Drulák. The incident took place as the team was awaiting departure from Podgorica, Montenegro after the squad qualified for Euro 2012. In it, members of the team sang a vulgar chant referring to Drulák's manhood, a response to the player's recent criticism of the team and coach Michal Bílek. And in his statement at the weekend, the team captain Rosický admitted that the incident was nothing to be proud of, stressing that emotions had simply gotten the better of the players following the squad's victory. And I can see Peter looking at me and he'd like to comment.
Yeah, just one thing. You're not going to enlighten us about what they actually said?
Well, I don't think we could get away with saying it on the air. And indeed, the Czech FA has not found it funny. The new head, Miroslav Belta, announced just on Monday that players, as well as the organizational team, will be fined 2 million crowns over the incident. So, naughty words indeed. Mm-hmm. The FA has also announced zero tolerance towards any such displays in the future, meaning that if anything like that is repeated, players or organizational members could be booted off of the team.
Oh dear, getting tough.
Okay. Getting tough. Mm-hmm. Moving on to actual play on the pitch. This is some of the action from the weekend. Football Slavia under new coach František Straka had a 3-game winning streak cut short by Hradec Králové. They tied 1-1 at home. Slavia's coach admitted it was tough to play at their opponent's stadium and that the other team had simply been more aggressive. In other action, defending league champions Plzeň edged Mladá Boleslav 3-2 to remain in third place. They're six points behind league leader Sparta. And second-place Liberec won their fifth match in a row, defeating Slovanska 2-1. They're also keeping the pressure on. They're just 3 points behind. And now we'll turn to hockey. In the Czech Extraliga, Sparta declassed defending champions Třinec 5-1, moving up to first spot in the standings. And in other action, Litvinov demolished Plzeň 8-2. Zlín downed Karlovy Vary 1-0, and last place Mladá Boleslav triumphed over Vítkovice 4-1. Overseas in the NHL, Jaromír Jágr skated again on Sunday after suffering a minor injury last week. He may be ready to play this Monday in the Flyers' next game as they face Carolina. The general manager Paul Holmgren confirmed on Sunday that Jágr's injury was not serious, although he reiterated how important the 39-year-old Czech star is for that team. Basically, Philadelphia has had an excellent season so far, topping the Eastern Conference, although they did lose to the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday. Now we're going to turn to our final item for the sport, and that's tennis. And for sure, Czech fans will be rooting for Tomáš Berdych. He's taking part in the final event of the season. That's the very prestigious ATP World Tour Finals in London. Berdych is, of course, the number 7 in the world. He's one of 8 qualifiers. But he is going to be facing world number 1 Novak Djokovic. I don't think that's going to be easy.
No, that won't be easy. Djokovic has had an amazing year, hasn't he?
He's had a phenomenal season, Peter. I think his record was something like 69-4. And winning 3 Grand Slams, so he's really been on a roll. Some concern over a recent shoulder injury that forced him to retire from the quarterfinals at the Paris Masters, but he has the edge.
But we were surprised as well because it's 7-1 against Berdych in their games between them.
That's right. Berdych has only won one match against Djokovic, so although Czech fans will probably be rooting by and large for Berdych, it probably won't be an easy match. Still, that's not everything. It's about who goes through in the group stage, the 2 best players to reach the semifinals.
That's a round robin. Yeah,
round robin, that's right. And so that's the sport.
Okay, thank you very much there, Jan. Then Jan Baliga with the sport. That was Jan Wellinger, of course, there with the sport. Time to move on here on Radio Prague. It's time for this week's One-on-One. And Jan Richter talks to Anna Mareshová, who recently won the National Student Design Award for her Whoop-Dee-Doo. And if you want to find out what that is, please do stay tuned.
More than 180 designs by secondary school and university students from around the Czech Republic competed in the 20th annual National Student Design Awards that were handed out in Prague last week. The main prize went to Anna Mareshová, a postgraduate student at the UJEP University in Ústí nad Labem, for a set of vibrators called Whoop-Dee-Doo. The sleek, hyper-modern sex toys, complete with chargers, charmed the jury, which appreciated the author's innovative and daring approach. In this edition of One on One, Anna Mareshova talks about her award-winning whoop-de-doo vibrators, her inspiration and her past work. I first asked her whether the award came as a big surprise.
Yes, I was surprised because I did this project as my master study, and it was a very difficult topic. And I was very surprised that I won this prize, but I'm very, very happy.
The jury of the National Student Design Award appreciated your courage among, of course, the artistic qualities of the object. Did it take a lot of courage to design a set of vibrators?
It was difficult. It takes me 1 year, this work, and I discussed this topic with many people, with doctors and with people from art area which solved this topic. And sometimes I had to feel that it's a little bit strange to do this, but I feel that it's necessary because I think this topic is everywhere and these products need to be solved by designers.
How did you first get the idea? What inspired you?
The first idea, it was just like a joke, maybe, I think. But then I was thinking more seriously about this, and finally I decided I try it. And I really try to do not just like a product, but I try to solve the whole area of it. And I did a big research, historical research, and it was more interesting than I thought before.
How are they different? How are the whoop-de-doo vibrators different from the usual vibrators that you can find in the market?
In this time, there are many, many types of this equipment, and I really don't like the, I could say, old-fashioned nature shape of this equipment. But I think in the last 5 years, there are some companies which produced more elegant and modern stuff like this. But no company and no producer is in the Czech Republic. And I think here is a little bit stigma on this topic still. And I try to open this topic here in Czech Republic especially.
Are the vibrators functional? And how were they tested, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, my research was really huge and I had to buy some models of equipment and I had to try it. And this my equipment, I tried just partly because it's just a prototype and I couldn't try it with everything. But I tried to do these things more sweet, I think more gentle and more elegant, and I did it specially for a woman.
What kind of reactions have you had for this project?
Do you mean during the whole work? During
Well, for example, you said that it was your diploma piece, the thesis for your master course at the University of Ústí nad Labem. What did the teacher say when you first came up to them?
Yeah, it was very nice because I was very scary about the topic, and I had to tell him what I'm going to do. And he's Mr. Apple, and he's 60. Something like this. And it was very nice because I explained it and he told me, okay, Anna, do this. And I was very, very happy that he helped me and that he was very open for this.
Are you planning to start producing these vibrators and selling them, of course, in some kind of larger context?
Yeah, I would be very happy, but it's difficult to find a producer. But I hope that this prize, this award, could help to find someone.
Are you concerned, Ms. Mareshova, that the whoop-de-doo vibrators will somehow overshadow your other work from now on?
Yeah, it was very interesting because I did, like my major project before, I did a tram for Prague, and it was a very huge project, and I really, it was my, like, a hard thing because I loved Prague trams, and I got some prizes for this work, but this is much bigger. I don't know how to explain it, but it's I'm surprising that this topic, it's more...
It's getting so much attention?
Yeah.
Well, in your other design, including that of the tram for the city of Prague, you said you were motivated by your discontent with what the actual objects look like. Is that your major motivation in design?
Yeah, because usually when I start something, I see the problem first and I try to solve it. And with trams, it was the same, like with this hoop-de-doo. Because I really like Prague, because I was born here, and I really like tram, especially from the 60s. And I'm not happy from the new tram, because I think they look a little bit like some trains, and they are really heavy. And I would like to try some modern thing, and I try to merge the modern thing and the iconic thing from the old trams, and I put together. And I would like to say it's not just about how the tram looks, but I know that there are many technical problems, and I try to solve this, not absolutely, but I try to just show that you can do this different way a little bit.
Do you feel, Ms. Marešová, that there is room for young designers such as yourself to actually have these projects implemented, or is this just really some kind of study in point that will be soon forgotten? In other words, do you think that Czech industry, for instance, is interested in designs like yours?
I would love, but I'm afraid that it's better to find a job abroad, because here it's a little bit stuck with industry. And I think it's a shame, because there are many, many talented people here, and I wish it could be better next year.
Now, you mentioned your inspiration with some iconic things from the past. In one of your projects, the Basque Clef kitchen set that you designed during your stay at the Derby University in England, you mentioned as inspiration the Moravian-born Art Nouveau architect Josef Hoffmann. Is that a period that appeals to you when it comes to design? Because that's very particular.
It was Uniworks, and we had to inspire of some designers, and I really love this man, and I try to use his methodology in my project. And yeah, I really like the old designs from these years. I usually go for inspiration there.
You received your bachelor's degree in design at Derby University in the UK. Now you are a postgraduate student at Ústí nad Labem, where you also got your master's, so you can compare the design education in the Czech Republic and the UK. How do they compare?
I think the best way it would be to merge these two universities together, because I really loved the university in Ústí nad Labem, because I think it's a really good university and it's a very young university. And in the UK, it was very good to have facilities there, because there was a great workshop and there is a really good systems for students. And I think the best way would be to merge these together.
How about the teachers? How are they different?
They were a little bit different, but I could see some similar thing. It was very, very funny for me, because I usually said, this professor looks like our Czech professor in this and something like this. And I think it was just about the communication. And it was very nice to be in a Derby University, because I think it's a great experience for me.
In your postgraduate studies, you are now working with sustainable design. What does that mean in practical terms?
Yeah, I try to find, as I said before, the problem and solve it. And for example, about the tram, would the trams look nice and would be clean, the people will use it instead of cars. And for me, this is the eco design this way. And I would like to bring some information to Czech Republic, because the sustainable design in the UK, it's a common thing, but here it's a little bit forgotten.
My final question would be, the winning designs from this year's National Student Design Award, including, of course, your whoop-de-doo vibrators, will be exhibited at Czech centres around the world. And the first stop will be in Vienna, the Austrian capital. Do you expect any controversies when it comes to this? And is it different, do you think, abroad than in the Czech Republic, the reception of your winning design?
I really don't know. it could be different, and I'm really curious how it will be.
That was one-on-one there with Jan Richter. He was talking to Anna Marešová about her very onomatopoeic design for the whoop-de-doo. Moving on, here on Radio Prague, it's time for another sound check, this week with Daniela Lazarová.
Welcome to a fresh edition of Soundcheck, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by a group called Vipsana Fixa, or Dry Felt Pen, and the phrase to listen out for is Yemi to jedno. Yemi to jedno means it's all the same to me. Literally translated, it means it's all one, presumably an abbreviation of it's all one and the same. The phrase Yemi to jedno can be expressed in many other, more colourful ways, such as Yemi to busht, that's a sausage to me. Why the saying refers to a sausage and not some other object is a mystery, although the same saying exists in a different version with the word putna, an outdated expression used to denote the huge backpacks travellers carried in olden days. Yemi to putna means it's an old backpack to me, most likely indicating that it is worthless. Another way of saying you couldn't care less about something is to say Yemi to ukradeni, it might as well be stolen, it's something I can easily part with. Or you may hear the rather bizarre expression Yemi to shumafuk. Shumafuk is not an expression you would find in the dictionary, and nobody is quite sure what it means, though people tend to associate it with something disappearing into thin air. Another funny expression Czechs use when they couldn't care less one way or another is to mi ne tankuje, meaning that doesn't fill me up with petrol, it doesn't do anything for me. You may also hear to mi ne vzrušuje, that doesn't excite me, or to mi ne pali, that is not an issue that burns me, it is not an issue that affects me directly. If you couldn't be bothered about something, you can say kašlu na to, I cough on that, meaning you're not going to do anything about it or devote any attention to it. Kids say kašlu na to when they have no intention of doing their homework or whatever other duty seems a drag. When people tell you to go ahead with a plan because they don't care one way or another, they generally say pro mne za mne, meaning for all I care, and some might add je mi to volný, I'm free. And that is like the English whatever. And on that carefree note, we end this edition of Soundcheck. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
Soundcheck here on Radio Prague, rounding things off for today. Just a bit of time to give you some information about the station. Please go on to our website, of course, www.radio.cz. If you're a Twitterer and all that kind of Facebook thing as well, we've got some kind of connections to those. You can find us on online. Please do get in touch and leave us your comments about the show, because we have a feedback show where we read out your letters as well. So you might get a mention. You never know. It's a cloudy and a little bit of cold day here in Prague. So from me, Peter Smith, wrap up warm. Till next time. Bye-bye.